The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all that counts is here and now. My universe will never be the same. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Paramania, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
This chap is obviously a charlatan. I suggest we move on to a less...
Don't you disrespect me, little man. Don't you derogate or deride. You're in my world now, not your world. And I got friends on the other side. That's an echo, gentlemen. Just a little something we have here in Louisiana. A little parlor trick, don't worry. Sit down at my table, put your mind at ease. If you relax, it will enable me to do anything I please. I can read your future, I can change it around some too. I look deep into your heart and soul. You do have a soul, don't you, Lawrence? Make your wildest dreams come true. I got voodoo, I got hoodoo, I got things I ain't even tried. And I got friends on the other side.
He's got friends on the other side.
The cards, will tell. The past, the present, and the future as well. The cards, just take three. Take a little trip into your future with me. Now you, young man, are from across the sea. You come from two long lines of royalty. I'm a royal myself on my mother's side. Your lifestyle's high, but your funds are low. You need to marry a little honey whose daddy got dough. Mom and dad cut you off, huh, playboy?
Sad but true.
Now y'all gotta get hitched, but hitching ties you down. You just wanna be free, hop from place to place. But freedom takes green. It's the green, it's the green, it's the green you need. And when I looked into your future, it's the green that I seen. On you, little man, I don't wanna waste much time. You've been pushed around all your life. You've been pushed round by your mother and your sister and your brother. And if you was married, you'd be pushed round by your wife. But in your future, the you I see is exactly the man you always wanted to be. Shake my hand. Come on, boys. Won't you shake a poor sinner's hand? Yeah. Are you ready? Transformation Central.
Transformation Central.
Reformation Central.
Reformation Central.
Transmogrification Central. Can you feel it? You're changing, you're changing, you're changing, all right. I hope you're satisfied. But if you wait, don't blame me. You can blame my friend on the other side.
Now that you want it.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to Sunday Morning Spiritual. I'm Father Alan Cox, and with me is Bishop David Parry. Hello, David.
Good morning, Father in Desperation Cox.
Yes, dear me. Yes.
There are the realities of the spirit, then there are realities of the body, of course.
Of course they are. And I'm sure all our listeners want to know that. Oh, dear me.
We're all human.
We are, yeah. I wonder myself sometimes. Sean seems to have disappeared offline again for some reason.
How about since you need to play a call of nature, Father?
Yeah. Yes.
You introduce me to my my renting audience.
My big apologies to the world. Please. Please.
How about this paranormal family, Paramania family? Yeah. The ultimate professional got caught short.
Sure, that's right. I'm gonna leave you to it, David. I'll let you know when I'm back. Okay, I'll see you in a minute.
Good luck, Barbara.
Thank you.
Well, to quote Alan, I'm aiming to get to Hyde Park. And there's a little man with a dog staring at me, and I suppose I'm just about to ascend my own soapbox. Hey, spiritualism's serious. And talk about the friends and notables of spiritualism. Basically British ones at the minute, aren't they? But I'll be extending that in the weeks ahead. The notables of spiritualism and our friends across the world. Now, today I want to talk about, dearly beloved brethren, James Johnson Morse. As far as I recall, he's no relation to Barry Morse, or indeed the inventor of Morse code, but you never know, I haven't had a chance to look that up. That's 1848 to 1919, if memory serves me correctly. Normally he's championed by spiritualists as sort of one of the most seminal influences on British spiritualism. Because Morse came to fame as a highly significant trance medium. Now, at some point over the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about various strands of mediumship, you know, physical mediumship, which seems to be out of fashion at the minute for some reason I can't quite work out, trance mediumship, psychic mediumship, and so on. And what we might do is actually go into some techniques on this show. If people are interested in that, please inbox Alan, not me, because I'm juggling sort of a billion things already. But if people are interested in that idea, we'll start including those things as well. So as I say, James Johnson Morse was one of the outstanding trance mediums of his day, giving weekly seances at the Spiritual Institution in the 1860s. He was made National Federation President of that institution. If memory serves me, both in 1899 and 1900. Now, he's actually written some incredibly interesting books that are still available. I don't think they're available generally in shops. You would have to order them. But as far as I can remember at the moment, they are available on Amazon or through other sort of more antique avenues. And certainly I'd like to point out two of them. Leaves from My Life, a narrative of personal experiences in the career of a servant of the spirits. It is a treasury of wisdom and contemporary spiritualist talk, what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how all these things fit together. You know, is it an act of worship? Is it sort of pure psychic ability furthering the evolution of the human race? I think it's both, but that's me. You know, so what is it we're all actually trying to do? Now, gosh, what was the other one? As far as I recall, the other one was News from the Invisible World, which is a little reminiscent, at least to me, of some of the works of Rudolf Steiner. I do want to talk about Rudolf Steiner in the next couple of weeks, but not at the moment, because he's quite a big name to tackle. And, you know, actual techniques, methods by which we can contact and have a communion, form the living continuum that we're meant to have with the other side. Did you hear any of that, Father? What do you think?
I've just this second. Have you got a camera? Have you? Does this mean that I'm going to have to get myself a commode to do these shows from now on?
Got anything to show how posh you are? I don't know. No, you don't need a commode, Alan.
Thank you for that. I think that's the. I think is this the first time in broadcasting history?
Well, it's the first time in your broadcasting history. But you even handle that as a professional?
Oh dear me, the human body and all its frailties. Dear me, never mind.
I'm sure the human spirit's 10 times more complex, and God knows what we're all in for.
Yes. Oh dear. Anyway, thank you for standing in for me, David. You had an early rant. And Sean Dix, our guest, has come online. I can see him there, which I'm looking forward to, because he's like a new addition to the Shakespeare Tonight family, isn't he?
Well, I mean, young Sean, I met him, he's a very talented young guy. He's more or less fresh out of drama school, though he's got quite an impressive CV for someone who's a newbie to all this. I met him during Hitchcock Homage, which of course finished, was it last Sunday?
Gosh, yeah. Have time. Yeah, it does.
And he was sort of the young lad about town in Hitchcock Homage. He impressed me very, very much indeed. He's a very gifted young man. And I sort of nabbed him because we needed an intern for Shakespeare Tonight. And I said, look, we're not really offering you a part, but you know, someone of your experience will help us a great deal. And he told me he hadn't played Edinburgh before. So I thought, well, let's kill two birds with one stone then. Yeah. I mean, Nick Pellas, a very gifted director in his own right, has an incredible knack of finding wonderful players. So I was a bit cheeky. I nabbed Sean, and I've nabbed Fran, as you know, Francesca, yes. Which who will be interviewed shortly. But of course, Fran has a significant role in Shakespeare's life. But I don't know, I think maybe Sean's underused at the minute, and we need to work some magic and see what we can do with his collaboration in this project. But I'm pleased you're finally meeting him today, Alan.
That's lovely. Let's play the next song, and I'll endeavour to get Sean on with us, right?
And Father Cox will come to himself again.
And this one could be dedicated to you, David, the greatest man I ever knew.
Oh, God.
No, he says never knew. I changed the word.
Thank you.
Right, we'll be back shortly after this. Right, I'll see if I can get Sean on, David. Dear me.
Okay.
Yeah, what a morning. Dear me. Never mind. It happens. It happens.
Yeah.
That's proof.
Don't want to turn into robots. I mean, my God.
Sorry?
We don't want to turn into robots.
No. Now, what's happened there? I was trying to get Sean. He just disappeared. Had to group.
That's odd, nothing's appearing on my screen.
Had to group call.
Yeah.
And it won't. Why won't he add to group call?
He says he's online.
Yeah, he is. And I'm trying to add him. Can you ask him to add to group call? Alright, Sean, press it. Only you come up, he doesn't come up. Why?
How can I enter group call?
No, you're already there. I press on Sean.
Yeah.
And then he says add to group call, and I press add on to group call, and it doesn't. It just leaves you on there. Can't add you, please. Skype. Let's see if that works. How much time we got?
I'm sending him.
Hello.
Now, hello.
Can you do it without video, please?
Yep.
Okay, now I'm going to see if I can aren't. The problem is, Dave is on hold now. I'm sorry, I'll have to disconnect you, Sean. I'll call you through Skype on your mobile number.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we're having problems. Okay. And that, I'm hoping that's going to work. We'll see.
Okay.
Okay.
No worries.
Okay. Great. Problem is, David, when I tried to call, he called in, he put you on hold. So,
right.
I'm going to call him on his mobile. I'm going to have to add another song. I'm not going to get it done in time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, we've got a problem.
Does he have a landline?
I can do it. I can do it on the mobile.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. Hang on. It's just.
I said call him on his mobile. He said okay.
Gotta find his number now. Oh, damn it. What is this thing? Check the schedule for airtime. That's Rockin' with Doc. With your host, Dr. Dave, only on the Paramania Radio Network. I'll just have to play the next song.
He's typing me his number now.
Yeah, that would help if you could read it out to me, please.
07.
Hang on a minute. Hang on. Oh. 07.
07496.
So it's 07.
496.
496.
745.
745.
605.
605.
That's it.
Calling in. Add to group call. Now it's doing it.
Now appearing on the screen. Yeah.
That's good.
Hello? Sean.
Hello, Sean. It's all right. Hi. Skype's playing up. It wouldn't let me add you on Skype for some reason.
Right, okay.
Okay. I've just started another song. So when this is finished, then I'll come back in and then we'll be live. Okay.
Mama D is having trouble hearing me, Alan. She says, is my mic muted? Which obviously it's not.
No, it isn't, no. Because the muting comes from your end. We're muted, but now we're not.
Right.
I'm looking on Scott. Yeah, but we was only muted when we was off air.
Yeah.
So, no. Just check your settings,
if
guys.
We hear you saying the gentleman's number live on air. So they're hearing all this at the minute, Alan.
Oh, hello, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. It's one of those mornings,
thank you,
folks.
Alan's having a bit of a moment.
I'm having one of those mornings. Yes, we are live on air. I tell you what, shall I go back to bed and start again? That was live.
Want to learn about how paranormal investigators use technology, what we use, and how it works? Then check out Tech Time with Brock and Doc every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
The joys of live radio, folks. Yes, this is Sunday morning spiritual, not the comedy hour. As it's turning out to be.
How dare you, Father Cop? Every hour is a comedy hour.
Oh, dear me. Well, anyway, we've got our guest with us, Sean Dix. Hello, Sean. Welcome to the Madhouse.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm just going to, before we go any further, I'm just going to check. Yes, we are live. The green light's on.
Oh, we're
dear.
All going
live. It's about checking if we're alive as a paranormal community.
That's right, yes. Yeah. The song at the beginning of the show, Friends on the Other Side, absolutely brilliant choice there, David, that we've been playing every week. Incredible. Love
well,
it.
We've both got friends on the other side, and I don't just mean Hollywood, of course.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Right, okay.
Listen, everybody. Right, Father Cox is going to get the taste of my revenge. He's a Hollywood tart, even more than I am. he knows more people over there than I do. My God, how did he do that?
I just know the odd film producer and actor and...
Yeah, the odd major film producer. My God.
Well, look, you have to do things by four and a half, don't you? Oh dear me! Yes, I do pinch myself sometimes. How I don't just know them; they're friends. That's what's the incredible part about it is, you know. And you know, I'll message someone like I did with Krista Saint Booth from my Understanding Spirit show, and say, "Can you come on my show?" Yeah, of course I will, Alan. You know, and the fact that he's one of the big icons over there in the supernatural world, and he was the lead singer with Sweeney Todd and made major movies, and I just messaged him, can you come on the show? Yeah, of course I will. Incredible. And Cyrus, you haven't
Cyrus, we love you and potentially worship you if that's what you want. I mean, all this started I mean, all this started with Mannheim Fox and you. I mean, it started with me with Peter Goldfarb.
Yeah.
Who, of course, was that awful... Yes, I did say it, Meryl. Yes, I did say it. That awful Meryl Streep. I told you a story about her, didn't I, Alan? I won't say it on
yes,
air.
I know
you're listening, Meryl. I know you. So, I mean, it started with me and Peter Goldfarb. But with you, it was the illustrious Mannheim Fox, of course.
Yeah, Manny Fox, indeed. My very, very good friend, who I really miss even that. I mean, I can't believe that it's 4 years since he passed away in September. 4 years.
Like 4 years?
Yeah, for 2012.
Time flying again.
Just unbelievable. You know, and, you know, I went to his home in Sedona twice, met him. We talked literally every single day on the phone, and he was an inspiration to me. And through Manny, I've got to know so many people, including Cyrus, because he's his cousin.
To both of us nowadays, and a major talent, of course.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, we mustn't give too much away, Alan, for obvious reasons. But, I mean, you know, he's certainly looking forward to producing Jill's major motion picture, you know, a moral giant of our times. And of course, I've got the privilege of bringing it to the stage. But I mean, don't forget, and again, we've got to be a bit careful. I was sent his first stage play, SMP.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to do it. I mean, the man is an incredible force. He's not just a Hollywood producer.
And
he's a gift. You know, and a decent human being, and in Tinseltown, I didn't even think they existed.
I know, and I'm going to be his co-producer on the film, and Cyrus and Anne and I have met Cyrus over here. I met Cyrus a couple of times, and he's an incredible guy, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and he introduced me to Chris Carter, the creator of the X-Files, and I've interviewed Chris. it's just quite amazing. And of course, out of all this, a big thank you to Gray in the chat room there for bringing myself and David together. Gray brought us together, David. So
yeah, without young Gray, radio magic would not have been made, so we're both very grateful to you, Gray, but you know you're a very close member of our paranormal family and our real family, you know that.
So we, you know, got exciting times. We've got a very good guest, Sean Dix, hanging on the line there listening to us. How did you come hello, Sean. How did you come to meet David, Sean?
Well, it was very much an amazing experience. We met during a run of a show called Hitchcock Homage, running at the Barrows Court Theatre not so long ago, and we met in rehearsals and just kind of clicked from there. He was an incredible human being, and I kind of like those kind of people in my life, and it was an incredible experience. We've just kind of rolled on from there, really.
What was it that you saw, David, that inspired you to ask Sean to be with us with Shakespeare tonight?
An up and coming talent that I knew I had to crush before he became a real problem in my career. I thought we were talking about the notables that we both know, Adam, but we've always got to keep our mind on the next generation.
Yes.
You know, Golguts added Star Trek, didn't it? I mean, you know, we've got to keep our eyes on who's coming up out of the ranks, who's coming next, and who's taking up the torch. I clicked very quickly with Sean, but of course I was there with my beady eye on who was doing what at first, and it struck me as a very strong cast, curiously. And I love the idea. I mean, it was on the verge of absurdism, and everybody knows my obsession with absurdist theatre. I thought certain people, I mean, everyone was strong, so don't get me wrong, certain people stood out in Nick Pallas's production, and Sean was certainly one of them.
Thank you.
Well, you know that. I mean, he developed quite a sort of bland character, I felt, And that's no criticism of the script. I mean, at first it needed to be that. But Sean, every single day he was adding depth to the psychology of this sort of young lad about town who was simply just trying to hoodwink girls into bed. I mean, that's what it sounded like to me. And every single night, as I say, there was an added depth to the character, and it intrigued me because it happened every single night he was on the stage. And I thought, well, no, I need to nab young Sean, and we need to talk turkey, as it were. Let's see how we can get him involved in Shakespeare tonight and how we can get him very, very proactive in the project.
Sean, when did your first interest in acting and the theatre come about? At what kind of age?
It was very much in secondary school. Around about the age of 12, I got to do a school production of Oliver Twist.
All right, yeah.
And it was very, very much just a lot of fun for me to begin with. But then, as I got a little bit older, I delved into it a little bit more. It excited me a lot more. And I truly fell in love when I did a production of Hairspray with my great friend Fran Mills. And my love of theatre just kind of steamrolled from there. I mean, to begin with, it was all the glitz and glamour of seeing stuff like Chicago and the West End. But as, like, my love of theatre grew, I was more looking into, you know, lots of the meaty kind of theatre, a lot more contemporary works as well as Shakespeare, all that kind of stuff. And, it was a love that started off quite small and steamrolled into my life, really. And it's been amazing ever since.
So, when you left school, how did you get into, you know, being able to get involved in the theatre, you know, in, shall we say, not from school, like in the real world, if you want to use that expression?
Yeah. After secondary school, I went and trained for 3 years at the Academy for Theatre Arts in Stoke-on-Trent, where I received incredible training. Incredible. I can't praise them enough. But after that, I was a bit stuck because I applied to get into a drama school in Guildford, got in but couldn't afford it, which is quite common these days. And I thought I was going to be selling fruit and veg for 6 months of my life and trying again.
Yeah.
And I was incredibly fortunate. And one of my friends messaged me saying, this agency's got open books, give them an email. And so I did, and they asked me to come in the next day. I auditioned for them, thought I had done a terrible job, and next day I had a contract in my email, and it's just kind of all steamrolled from there. Incredibly fortunate with what I've done.
Did I hear you say Stoke-on-Trent?
Yes, I'm originally from Stoke-on-Trent.
One of our great supporters, and my great supporter Paramania, Paul Chadwick, he's in the chat room right now, and he hails from Stoke-on-Trent. Oh dear me! There's two people who have lived in Stoke-on-Trent.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a great little area to grow up in.
I know Stoke-on-Trent well. I don't live that far from Stafford, so I know Stoke very well.
Okay. Yeah.
So
it's been very much steamrolling ever since, not stopped.
Paul's put in the chat room, that's where I live. I know, Paul, I've just said you live there.
You live there.
Oh dear me. It's like when somebody somebody in America, you know, they say somebody's name, they say, because you live in England, and they say, do you know him? Or do you know her? Yes.
Yeah, but I always say yes. When I get that, I always say yes. I've got a favour to ask both of you. Sean is one of the sweetest people I've ever met, and I'm sure we're going to become very, very firm friends. Professionally as well as off stage over the next couple of years, at least I hope. But there is a dark side. Thank you, John. But there is a dark side. Because he's quite a big lad and is good at pulling faces, that's not giving too many theatrical secrets away. He's also got an up-and-coming psycho. I mean, he told me a story that tickled me in a way. I mean, I'm not guilty of it, but I'm in the sort of arty area, so I don't have to worry about that. But I know, like you, Alan, lots of people in the commercial area and where your hair's falling out because you're not meeting contracts in time. Yeah. So I'm very sympathetic to my colleagues in that area. And I get the impression that they'd like to typecast young Sean as sort of the Council of State psycho because he can pull a good scary face and shout. Now, I'd like you to warn our listeners of the decibel level, but Sean, yeah, would you grace us and bless us with your Council of State psycho?
Okay, yep, can do.
Do you need me to talk and lead you in, darling? I'll give you a count.
Okay.
Right, now everybody, the decibel levels may be high, so be careful, right? On the count of three, young maniac. One. Let me do it. I'm going to do it seriously here. It's like, right, one, two, three.
I'll show them not to mess about with me! Yeah, that's my psycho.
Brief psycho this morning, but definitely psycho.
I've had far too much practice at it, David, as you know.
I mean, it's
a good starting point.
I lowered my volume down on the speakers for that.
But I'm sorry, listeners, if I burst your eardrum.
He stood on the stage, I mean, Baron's Court Theatre, I think it's a lovely little theatre. Get a website, I think it's a lovely little theatre. And it's sort of atmospheric, and it's a little pokey, but, you know, if you're doing something like Hitchcock, that's perfect. And Sean was stood in a suit, sort of suggesting I listen to his psycho, but it was just so perfect in this sort of underground sort of torture chamber where somebody starts shouting and screaming.
Oh, it's perfect.
Absolutely.
Let me lead you into something. What sort of role would you like to play?
I would very much like to play a very truthful role, because especially a very truthful LGBT role, because I find these days that there's a lot of stereotypes thrown out in theatre and mainstream, and I want to do that one role where it's just a truthful human being. He may happen to be gay, but is still a person and isn't a stereotype that we see from LGBT. I would very much like to do something like that. And I feel very passionately about that. Not so long ago, I did a scratch night with the London Welsh Centre, all based around the theme of LGBT. And I had this one character where we were based in the 1960s, he was a conservative, and he was very closeted homosexual. And it was very much on my mind all the time that he was such an incredible script and an incredible character that I just wanted to do it justice. And very much, I spent hours thinking about it and trying to get it right. I did tons of research into that kind of time period, all that kind of stuff. And I just want to be able to portray a typical LGBT human being, not one of these stereotypes that we see on mainstream media these days. And well, I was very fortunate to do that.
And I think you and I are sort of at the very early stages of discussing a future project, whether we can develop that. I mean, you know, what do you think, Alan? Don't you think we're all the victims? And commercial colleagues, I know what pressures you're under. Don't all shout at me. But, you know, Alan, don't you think we just have to explore our common humanity more? The stage the perfect place to do it? What do you think?
I totally agree with you there, David. But you see, stage represents a view of life. Whether it's comedy, drama, dark or light, all plays, all shows come from everyday life, a lot of tragedies. And over here in the UK, we're experiencing a terrible tragedy with the fact of Sue Cox being brutally murdered on our streets, you know, in Birstall. And I know Birstall and Batley and around there, and they're very kind of quiet neighbourhoods, the urban side of the towns. And I had to play tribute this morning on Inspirational Voices to herself and obviously her husband Brandon. I mean, what a terrible Father's Day, and their two young children. And you see, we kind of forget sometimes that when you've got tragedies like Shakespeare's tragedy plays, they are actually based on what happens to people in real life, and I don't think we should forget that.
Yeah, I mean, Shakespeare. I think it was something Wittgenstein said. I'm getting well known these days as a Wittgenstein freak. I confess. There we go. He said, you know. What does Shakespeare do? Why is he unique? He gives you the world. He doesn't just give you a story. He doesn't just give you a plot. He doesn't just give you a couple of interesting characters. He gives you the whole world. And when I was thinking, as you know, I've had a long association with Shakespearean productions. I mean, it's been completely accidental. It's nothing I planned. And as I say, my passion tends to be experimental theatre. It tends to be absurdism. It doesn't tend to be the classics, but there we are. You know, the fact that, you know, you have a play like Hamlet or King Lear, I mean, I think they're the two global masterpieces. Curiously, my own interest, my own vote, if we were going down that route, would be for King Lear as the ultimate masterpiece. And there are reasons for that. Maybe we can discuss some other time. But, you know, we've got to remember what theatre's trying to do and why it is so engaging. But, you know, Alan, when I was... shouting and screaming on your show the other night because I was angry at what was happening about Joe Cox's passing.
Yes.
You know, politics is very important. I'd be the last person in the country to say that that there's nothing but huge importance in what's happening to our nation at the minute and certain votes that are taking place. But my God, the woman wasn't even cold.
Yeah.
And people were making political capital over her murder. And I thought, it really is beyond the pale, absolutely tasteless and beyond the pale. We've got to remember our humanity and the fact a nice, wonderful, caring young woman has just passed.
Indeed.
Instead of instantly jumping on the bandwagon and scoring points. Now, of course, maybe it's time to revisit those discussions. But I just felt on that particular day it was not.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I'll tell you what, I was saying about carrying right through, but shall we, let's just have a couple of minutes break. I'm going to play Beverly Craven, Promise Me, and then we'll be back, and then we can gather our...
Shut Sean up before he gets too big for his britches.
You're too kind, David, I tell you, you're too kind.
Stay on there, young man, stay on there.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. Yes, that's right.
I'll be here.
In the morning, and it's starting to get light. Though I'm right where I wanna be, losing track of time. But I wish that it was still last night.
Promise me, you wait for me, 'cause I'll be
just so love that song. Absolutely brilliant. Anyway, you are listening to Sunday Morning Spiritual with myself, Father Alan Cox, and the incredible Bishop David Parry. Right, his head's just swollen. He'll have to get the carpenters in to get his head through the door now to get back out of the room.
That is a ghost.
Anyway, our guest this morning is the up-and-coming actor Sean Dix. And David was just asking you off air about anything in particular, and you were saying about some funny stories. So, let's hear some funny stories, Sean.
Right, okay. Especially with Baron Court Theatre, it was very much the first day. And we all walked in, and it was one of the... You know when you just walk into a new space for the first time, and it's very euphoric, and you kind of soak it in for the first couple of minutes. And then we walk into the dressing room, and I stupidly decided to take my shoes off without thinking. And then our director, Nick, comes in and says, oh, yeah, they had a flood before us. And I very much found out through my feet, because I had walked into a very nice wet patch, and my socks were completely soaked, which was a fabulous start to our tech day. But probably the best and funniest story was after one of the shows, you know, just random, just going to the toilet, you know, as you do after a show.
I wait until the show's on, sure.
Literally just had a great performance. We were all incredibly happy, and, you know, just standing there, and this guy just starts speaking to me about the show. Just, you know, standing at the urinals, this guy just says, oh, it's a great show. And I was just like, thank you very much. And, you know, just when you have that moment of, is he going to carry on talking?
Yeah.
And I was just standing there and thinking, just get out quickly so I can get home and get changed. But this guy just kept on talking and talking and talking in this toilet, and people were walking in and out, and we were just having like this mini conversation about the show. The toilet. So I think that's the first time that's ever happened to me, because usually it's very much quiet times after the show, but when you go to the toilet you feel, yeah, it's going to be fine, and then this guy just starts speaking to you over and over again, and you just have to...
That's awkward.
It is.
It's incredibly awkward, but you know me, David. I laugh in awkward situations.
Yeah.
I'm one of these people with a very interesting sense of humour. And whenever I'm in an awkward situation, I just laugh. but obviously, when you've just seen the show.
I do understand what you're saying, Sean. It just came into my mind, actually, that Anne and I was on our way back home quite a few years ago. And our story about our psychic work and that had just gone into Take a Break, Fate and Fortune magazine. And we popped into Morrison's in Bromsgrove on the way back. And I was paying for the goods. And the cashier, a youngish girl, she looked at me. She says, I know you. I said, do you? And then she says, I know where. She fetches this magazine from underneath. He says, I've just been reading about you. Because you got a picture of me there. It was bizarre, I tell you. It was really bizarre. Do you mean? So, it is really odd.
It's really one of those strange things, isn't it? When, you know, you're just doing the most casual of things and then people almost like spot you or recognise you from somewhere.
Yeah.
And you think, how has this happened?
Yeah, that's right.
So, very much so. Have you ever...
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, David, have you ever experienced any of these kind of random situations?
Speaking as a bishop of the Gnostic Church, I never do casual things. I only do gorgeous things. it normally ends... either I bring my invisible kid brother into it. Oh, you're talking about my brother. Yeah. Or, oh my God, is that the time? And I'm off like a whippet from a cat.
Oh dear. Yeah. So, what have you got lined up at the moment, or is it a case like with actors? You know, it's a bit of a precarious occupation to be in sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. As David has mentioned before, I'm involved with Shakespeare Tonight, which I am so excited for. When David explained the project to me, it has literally lit a fire beneath me, because I'm a huge fan of Shakespeare. Like David was saying earlier, he's got his masterpieces, and he's an incredible. I obviously, it's a fundamental for actors to do Shakespeare before they delve into anything else, because without his work, we wouldn't have the work that we have today. So when I heard about this project, I was incredibly, incredibly excited. But other than that, it's the quietest time at the moment. I've had a couple of auditions here and there. And like David mentioned earlier, we're at the very origins of an incredibly exciting project. And I very much hope that we get to take this as far as we both want to take it. And that's about it for at the moment. It's quite a quiet time. It's all very much panto time, auditioning for the Christmas.
Oh.
And I know.
Oh, I love being Widow Twanky.
So do I, David. So do I.
Perhaps this year we can be Gaffney sisters.
Oh, thanks, David.
That's a strange compliment there, David.
It's a compliment. You need to know what you're doing, but don't twangy or the ugly thing.
Well, we both know I won't be the charming prince.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but it's always a woman who's the charming prince.
That's right. Yes, it is.
I know.
Thigh slapping and all that sort of stuff, you know.
Believe it or not, David, we're virtually out of time. It's certainly been an eventful show, hasn't it? Sean, I want to thank you so much indeed for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and it's been really good. And I hope that you have all the success in the future. And it's good to have you on board with Shakespeare Tonight.
Thank you very much.
So, David, anything to add before we say goodbye?
I mean, he started as an intern. He's becoming our production assistant. And I think, Alan, keep your eye on him. We'll develop that role a bit further.
That's brilliant. And at this time, we can never say goodbye, but we have to. So Jimmy Somerville puts it all out there, saying we can never say goodbye. So goodbye.